You're listening to Security Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Today's broadcast features an interview with GE Security Executives Lewis Parker and others at the ISC West Trade Show in Las Vegas.
Well, good morning. I'm going to shout because it is a little difficult here. And also, two things that happens to you anytime you do a show. You end up with sore feet and sore throat. So those are two things. But we appreciate you joining us this morning, early this morning. I know the tables are open. But glad you decided to join us. Before I introduce the team, I'd like to talk a little bit about GE Security and introduce us to you. First of all, who is GE Security? Well, we are a company that about over 6,000 employees worldwide. We are in over 30 countries around the world, and we are very focused on technology and five major security platforms. That's fire, intrusion, access control, video, and explosive and trace detection. Those are the five major platforms that make up GE Security. And you may ask, why did GE even get into the security business? Because 4 years ago, GE was not in the security business at all. Well, there's a couple main reasons for that. One, we think it's a great industry. It's an industry that, depending on who you listen to, anywhere from $150 to $200 billion worldwide. It has a growth rate of about 7 to 8% on an annual basis. And we think it was a very, very fragmented industry as well. So it really fit GE's focus. And we decided that security was a business we wanted to be in for those reasons, but also it's dual purpose. It's a great business, but also it serves a great purpose in protecting the world. So about 4 years ago, we embarked upon an acquisition strategy where we did over $4 billion in acquisitions to fill out those five platforms that I just mentioned. And this year, we will do over $2 billion in revenue in GE Security. Now, you look at security, and our two primary focuses, we really focus on two things. One is the customer. We really want to understand what our customers' requirements are so we can bring solutions to risk manage and manage the risk to all of our customers and their requirements. And we use great GE tools to make that happen. Now, GE is very well known for Six Sigma. We use Lean Six Sigma as a primary tool to really understand our customer requirements. We use Voice of the Customer to really understand our customer requirements. And we measure this on a monthly basis through something we call Net Promoter Score, where we actually measure our promoters and our detractors and subtract that to get a score. We actually make calls, and all my leadership team and people in the back as well. After we do the survey, we follow up and call all of our customers to really understand what their issues are. And we have weekly meetings where we review the results of that so we can put action plans in place to address concerns and make sure we have the best customer service and meet the best customer requirements out there in the industry. But it's not just about providing product. It's about providing solutions, but also how we can take these security solutions and really fit into the strategy of the customer and what they're trying to do, not just in security, but all, overall profitability and the growth of their businesses. The second thing we primarily focus on in security is technology. When GE gets into a business, there are two drivers that really allow us to, or we think about it, getting into a business. One, we get into businesses because we think we can do it better than anyone else. And two, because we can use technology as a differentiator in those industries. And we think technology and what we can provide in technology and GE Security, we actually have differentiated platform. All the platforms that we purchased, we feel we bought the best in the industry, but also now we continue to enhance those because it's not just the 800 engineers that we have at GE Security, but it's really all of GE that we can bring to bear. And we have four major technology centers around the world. We have it in Munich, Germany, in India, in Shanghai, China, and also in Niskayuna, New York. And we have over 1,800 PhDs and over 2,500 technologists that work there. And so we work in concert with the greater GE to bring better technologies to enhance our position. But you'll hear from Dennis, Homeland Protection, for example, we are the number one provider in GE healthcare and CT, new tomography. Well, that's also a technology that we use in our explosive detection for baggage handling. And now we've worked with our healthcare business where we're going to be able to bring together the newest technology and next generation of technology and baggage scanning. So that's an example of the synergies that we can bring to bear when we have when we bring the greater GE to make it happen. Now, I'm not going to go much more into the rest of the technologies because you're going to hear it from the team, but we are really excited about what we were able to do in GE. When you think about it, when you talk about all those five platforms together, we think that we can bring a solution together that absolutely can do better than our competitors. I mean, just think about it. You're going to hear from Dan, who's going to talk about education. Who else can really bring a solution together where you can put together a package where you can determine whether the person should be in that school through the visitor program and databases to make sure that they should be there, use our access control so that we know that they should enter that school, and also link that with our explosive and trace detection to determine if they've touched narcotics or explosives. And also, of course, fire detection and intrusion. We can bring all that together and put that together in one central command and control that can be used by a school, but also that can be used throughout enterprises around the world. Because what people are very focused on today, everyone has access and video and such, but how can you bring all that together and do it with a software platform so you get a central command and control and be able to respond to threats when they happen or deter threats to make sure they do not happen. And we think we can do that better than anyone else. But I'll let the team talk to you about how we can do that. Now, let me introduce the team. Now, first to my left is Greg Burge, who handles my network solutions business. But we are organized around the customer. So when you think about Greg really customers are residential up to mid-commercial for all our security solutions. Next to Greg is Dan Smicka, who runs our engineered systems business. But here again, it's around the customer. And Dan's business is mid-commercial up to high-end commercial enterprise around the world. You have Dennis Cook, who runs our Homeland Protection business. And that really is focused primarily on government and the TSA, but also around aviation around the world, and our trace detection, our car detection, explosive detection of devices around the world. And then, of course, the person that really we depend on a lot to bring it all together and making sure that we have marketing and technology together, and that's Bill McGann, our Chief Technology Officer, who works and really driving our technology vision around the world. So we'll start off with Greg to talk about his network solutions and what we're doing in that area. Greg?
Thanks, Louis. Good morning. As Louis mentioned, the business I lead is focused on serving the residential customer up through mid-commercial. Mid-commercial might be up to about 150,000 square foot facility. And as Louis also mentioned, we're focused on access, intrusion, fire, and video solutions. And I thought what I would do this morning is maybe give you some practical examples of initiatives we have going on in these spaces where we're applying technology to bring a better end-user solution to our customer base. Let's start off with residential. One of the markets you might see us in is the real estate market, remote access. If you're out buying a home, you see a lockbox hanging off the door, that's our technology. And today we have over 800,000 realtors that we're providing remote access to in markets throughout North America. Obviously, one of our largest markets in residential is intrusion products, monitored security systems. And one of the dilemmas I think everybody in this trade show is facing is that the market has been unable to penetrate really beyond a 17 to 20% level in North America. You might say, security is on the minds of all Americans. What's the issue around that level of market acceptance? One of the things we're learning is that as we're connected in the world today, many of you are carrying BlackBerries, we're connected 7x24, but the minute you walk away from your home, there's literally no connection to what's going on in your premise. So we're looking at a concept called Premises Connect, where as you leave the home, you actually have the ability through the security system to be notified of any events that may be occurring in the property. So, for instance, you have the ability to arm and disarm the system remotely via a wireless network. If you're at the trade show, your family's at home, you have an alarm in the middle of the night. Today, with most systems, there's no visibility to you as a consumer of what's going on in your home. And through this wireless network, kind of partnership we have with a company called Alarm.com, you now have the ability to be notified via text message on your phone or phone call that there's actually an alarm event. So that's one aspect that we think will dramatically improve the acceptance and usability of security systems, is to give the residential consumer the ability to have visibility into the home. And eventually, we're going to see video emerge as an applicable technology. We've seen it, you know, exploding in the commercial market. I think you're going to see that video adoption more and more and more in the home. If you step around the side of the booth afterwards, too, you'll see in the builder market, obviously GE has a very, very strong presence in appliances in the new construction market. We have a major initiative going on around the Smart Connection Center, where we bring all of the wiring into a central point, allow audio to be distributed, video to be distributed throughout the home, high-speed internet connection as well. So that's our focus in the residential market. One of the things we've learned as we've developed technologies in residential is after 9/11, our engineers, creative group of people, were sitting around with our marketing teams and said, there's a lot of containers coming into the U.S. that are unprotected. And the engineers came to me one day and they said, you know, containers are a lot like houses. And I said, well, how is that? They said, well, they have a door on them. They have stuff inside. They're remote. And there's no power and there's no network at the door. And we want to know who's going in and out of those containers. We want to protect the goods inside of them. So we began an initiative about 3 years ago that we call Commerce Guard, where we are very, very actively involved with the Department of Homeland Security today to bring an electronic technology to the door of every inbound container coming into the U.S. that will detect intrusion by an unauthorized individual. So from the packing point in a factory anywhere in the world, a trusted shipper would arm the device at any time during the movement of that container. If the door is opened by an unauthorized individual, we send an alarm condition out through a network. So that's a major initiative for us. You might say, you know, how does it fit in your market? It's a great example of GE's creativity and imagination in using existing technologies to solve emerging problems. One third area I want to touch on, which is also a remote wireless application, or could be a remote wireless application, is putting video into mobile buses. So you get a rapid transit district like you have here in Las Vegas or Los Angeles. We have, of the market today, we're in about 42% of the installed base, and we actually put multiple cameras and a ruggedized digital video recorder on the bus. What's the dilemma? Well, if you're a rapid transit district and you've got buses moving and you've got customers on those buses, you'd like to have a way to audit what's going on in that bus. Obviously, in the world we live in today, you may have a claimant come forward saying there was an accident or an event that happened on the bus. They bring a suit against the Rapid Transit District, and we found in L.A. recently we probably saved that Rapid Transit District millions of dollars by being able to prove via the video content that we captured and uploaded for that Rapid Transit District that the claimant was not even on that bus. It's a very strong emerging market for us, and as you see, mesh networks in cities, we're actually going to be able to give law enforcement and rapid transit districts the ability to look directly into the bus while it's mobile, again, providing a much higher level of protection and security for the people using the rapid transit district. That's a brief summary of our business, and it's an exciting business, great growth year over year, and invite you to talk to any of our people here in the booth if you'd like additional information on any one of those initiatives that we're involved in.
Quick question, my friend, if you don't mind. That is, when you were talking about Alarm.com, they're pretty much niching into IP, right?
Well, it's a pager network today, right. So we just actually put a module in and move that signal into a paging network and then distribute it via a variety of communication networks. But there is a strong move to IP in all of the markets we're in.
You don't see yourself as being a
monitor. We don't have any plans at this point in time to be actively involved in what you would call the traditional professional monitoring environment. I'll turn it over to Dan Smith here on my left.
Your questions to the end, because you can see we're competing with the rest of the show, and then you can talk to one-on-one.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk about engineered systems, and engineered systems is really defined not only by the markets, but the customers that we serve. And the customers that we serve are really looking for an integrated facilities and security management system, looking for intelligent automation and analytics, and then centralized command and control. And as you look at these three aspects of what our customers are looking for, we have the technologies that meet these three needs. I want to start off with centralized command and control, because as Lewis talked about earlier, software really brings that integration and that single point of view relative to facilities and enterprises globally or within a region. Our heritage within software goes back almost 15 years, and we are the only manufacturer that can provide both a Unix as well as a Windows Server application. And as you go through the book today, I hope you take a look at our Picture Perfect platform. It is a Linux, Unix platform, scalability on a thin client server, but it also gives you the ability to scale open architecture, scale globally, backward compatible, and it has 15 years of progress and advancement. In fact, this is its 15-year anniversary, so we're very, very pleased in the developments of this platform. But as you look at software and where it is going, it has to be open, has to be scalable, it has to integrate, and it has to provide intelligence back to the end user. This platform allows us to build off into the technologies that we provide as a company. And I want to highlight some of those key technologies. Access control is probably moving the fastest of the technologies, that NVIDIA. For access control, we're really beginning to see a convergence of IT logical and IT physical. And that's absolutely critical as networks get simpler to operate. End users are going to want that simplicity onto their platforms. We see the emergence of smart cards to where you have biometric credentialing as well as other information on that card, which really solves issues that we today are running into with our customers. If you travel to Munich, you may need an access card. If you travel to the same company in New York, you may need a different access card. If you travel to Bangalore, you may need a different access card. But as the convergence of IT happens along the logical and physical, we will eventually move towards one card, and we're leading that effort. Absolutely critical that we move there. And then Transition Reader is another series of launches that we've done in the Reader platform. As we scale into both backward compatibility as well as to forward expansion, you have to have a platform of hardware that allows you to move with that scalability. And our Transition Reader converges really three technologies onto one platform, allowing for that easy interface with multiple card technologies. You know, the next platform I'd like to talk about is video. This, to me, is perhaps the most exciting. You heard Greg talk about how that's going to move into perhaps self-monitoring. Video in the commercial piece is just growing rapidly as customers begin to move away from passive video to more proactive video. And we have some tremendous investments as well as acquisitions that we've made to give us a platform that allows us to, again, be open to backward compatibility systems as well as scale forward, open in terms of architecture, in terms of bringing on intelligent level software onto those platforms. And the platforms that we have, it's a VisioWave platform, and it's really precision engineered to allow you to self-monitor your network. Look at your hard drives for temperature reading, and to make sure you're getting the very best in video streams. Because again, all that data needs to come back onto your centralized command and control platform. So I welcome you to take a look at some of this great technology that we're launching in the month of April. The next technology I'd like to talk about, and I think it's just in a very much a growing trend in our business, is mass notification and the importance of voice. And if you look at our fire systems as well as our sound and communication platform in both the healthcare with nurse call as well as in school environments, the ability to communicate a threat and to respond to that threat is very, very important. And voice over IP is that technology. And we have a breakthrough product that's being launched in the nurse call industry called Telligence. And that platform allows us to improve patient and staff care as well as patient safety. But we're taking that technology and also leveraging it across our other platforms in fire as well as in security. And I think that's the scale that GE brings to the market, in that we have the ability to not only take a winning technology in one part of the security solution, but take that technology and move it to other parts too. Now I'm going to talk about two exciting markets that we're playing in, and we're really going to be talking more and more about this over the next couple of months, is healthcare and education. I think we all have a personal interest in these two markets. We've all been students or have children who are students today, and we probably all have parents or relatives or ourselves who are going to be patients in the healthcare facility. You know, today is so important in terms of having the best security there to give our children as well as ourselves and our parents and relatives a safe and secure environment. And we really have that technology when you bring it all together under a software platform to be able to deliver that. And I just want to comment on education. You know, when you look at education, you talk to administrators, you talk to parents, you know, they really bucket into three areas. It's deterrence, physical, abduction, abuse, it's avoidance of theft and vandalism, and then it's drug prevention. And if you look at our technology today, we really have it. Access to control who's coming in, video to take a look at what's going on in terms of theft and vandalism. And then Dennis will highlight more, but we've got a game-changing technology that can really deliver a solution to schools in terms of drug prevention. Because our technology today is competing with the dog. And we know our technology has got a much better nose than that dog. So if you look at the markets we're serving and what we're doing, we really can bring a technology not only to improve efficiency, but also to meet a lot of social needs, such as safe and drug-free schools. So with that, I'm now going to turn it over to Dennis.
I lead that part of GE Security that takes products and solutions to the Homeland Security space. We are the world leader in explosive detection systems. We have approximately 1,300 CT baggage handling, baggage screening systems that are installed around the world. So we're the world leader there. And when you look at the part of the business that I lead, really our mission is to bring technologies and solutions to the market that really thwart threat vectors that terrorists and drug traffickers have today. What I thought I'd do is just kind of give you a sense for the products that we have here at the booth and the new technologies we're bringing to market. Let me start with our portals. If you take a look right on the other side of this, our walkthrough portals detect explosives and narcotics. We're just bringing a new portal to market called the EntryScan 4. It has a 20% improvement in throughput time. It's about a 13-second analysis time. It's quieter. We've reduced the air jet noise by 10 dB. In addition, it's got a smaller footprint. What we found is when we're protecting nuclear facilities in particular, the ceiling height of 8 feet, 8 feet is very important. Previously, we were above that 8-foot ceiling height. We're now below it, so it can fit into all the many nuclear facilities that we protect around the world. The next technology I'd like to highlight is our vapor tracer. It's a portable device that can detect explosives. We have over 1,000 of these deployed in Iraq today, protecting our troops. It's quite touching, a lot of the letters that we get from our troops where they've detected explosives before a vehicle is coming into a compound, for example. The next technology that I'd like to highlight is really a series of technologies, is our checkpoint of the future. We have an animation over here that I'd like you to take a look at if you have a chance that combines multiple technologies to both improve security and increase the throughput of passengers coming through an airport. The first version of that that we'll be deploying is actually at the Transportation Security Laboratory right now. It integrates three technologies. It integrates a shoe scanning technology that uses quadrupole resonance to detect both explosives and metal in the shoes. Wouldn't it be nice to go through an airport and not have to take off your shoes? I'll talk about that more in just a minute. Next, we take our trace technology. I talked about the portal, or the so-called puffer, where it puffs particles off the body and takes a sample. The other way to collect a sample is from the finger. We have a technology called the Itemizer FX that you should take a look at, where you press a button and it takes a few molecules off of your finger and can determine whether or not you've been in contact with explosives. We're integrating that technology with biometrics into one kiosk. So imagine having a shoe scanner in front of a biometric kiosk where it either takes your iris or your fingerprint and determines that you are the person who the card, the smart card you have, says you are, along with then a trace sample from your finger. Does all of that in roughly 20 seconds. And we've got that in at the Transportation Security Lab where they are evaluating whether or not for registered traveler lanes, which is something I'll talk about in a moment, whether or not they can give the benefit of you not having to take off your shoes or divest your jacket as you go through the lane. Not approved yet, but they're looking at it right now for the registered traveler lane. Let me talk about the registered traveler program just for a moment. Registered traveler is something where you voluntarily provide your information to the Department of Homeland Security, and if approved, you're able to go through a registered traveler lane. today there are 19,000 members at Orlando. And the value proposition to the traveler is you can get through in a matter of minutes versus having to face some of the large queues that you've seen at many airports. I think we've all experienced that. We've formed a relationship, a strategic partnership with Verified Identity Pass. This is the only company today who's operating a service that provides a registered traveler program. We are providing technology to them and have a strategic investment in them also. So we're pretty excited about what the TSA is looking at there. In June, Kip Hawley, who leads the TSA, is saying they're targeting a national rollout of the registered traveler program. We will be providing technology for screening passengers at that checkpoint, along with bringing our Six Sigma process reengineering capability to those lanes. So we're quite excited about that. That'll be the first version of our checkpoint of the future that we'll have out into the marketplace. Let me wrap up with our StreetLab technology. StreetLab is our first entrant into the biodetection market. StreetLab, we're developing a product that integrates both chemical detection, biodetection, along with explosive detection into a portable device. We're quite excited about it. We think the market for it is the hazmat market, where you have people who are looking at hazardous materials, first responders. There are 20,000 hazmat units in the U.S., which is a target market, along with the military, frankly. Bill's going to talk more about that. In fact, when you look at what our mission is, it's to take all the technologies that are available at GE and to anticipate the future threats and vectors that terrorists and drug traffickers have, and to bring those technologies to market. And with that, I'm going to pass it to Bill, who will tell you more about our future technologies. Bill.
Thanks, Dennis. I'll try to use technology to bounce the sound around the room a little bit here. So good morning, and it is certainly my pleasure to be here with you to spend a few minutes and share with you some thoughts about our core technologies that serve as a backbone for the current products and services that GE Security offers today, and also to give you a glimpse of where we're going in the future. You know, I think that staying ahead of the threat, as Lewis described earlier, is really the key for us to turn our enabling technologies into product solutions for security with our customers. And, you know, if you think about that, there's a couple of ways in which technology accomplishes this. And by now, from listening to the businesses here before you, you get a sense that we view our core competencies in security to be in the areas of video, intrusion, access, fire, and in the homeland space, explosives detection, drug detection, chemical and biological detection. Now, to say that that is your core competency and you want to stay ahead of the threat, that's not merely a phrase. We view that as a significant challenge and at the same time a tremendous opportunity to grow in GE Security. So from a technology perspective, we have a two-pronged approach to that. First, what we do is we work extremely closely with our marketing teams around the world to ensure that we are always designing, developing, and delivering the right products at the right time to our customers. Okay? That part of the technology organization, we run like a business. It's very process, execution-driven. The best of General Electric companies' disciplines are embedded in that part of the technology and marketing organization. I'll give you an example of that. Right now, in our new product introduction portfolio, we've got 40 active programs that will deliver $170 million of incremental revenue in 2006 based on that kind of approach. So that's doing the ordinary things extremely well, running technology like a business. The second thing that we do to ensure we're staying ahead of the threat is we use our imagination. And we do that by implementing the possible strategy. And that is, we take the best available technologies we have today, combined with a vision of where we're going tomorrow with our customers, so that they feel that if they are with us today with our best available technology, that they have a path to their future. And that is really the sort of the two-pronged approach to how we think we win. We call this multi-generational product planning, and this team, as well as the product managers and myself, spend a tremendous amount of time and focus on making sure we've got the right multi-generational product path. This is how we will grow, the way Lewis described. So what I'd like to do is just give you a couple of examples, really, to punctuate some of the things that, you know, Dennis and Greg and Dan have said, and then give you sort of a couple of the futuristic things. I mean, to start off with, and where we are today, you heard Greg talk about, you know, how we took a fairly straightforward technology in the real estate business and literally transformed it into a total new customer base on cargo security. So there's a great example of multi-generational product planning. We took basic technology core to our DNA as a business and took it from one market space to a total new customer segment, and it's a great opportunity for growth. Another one that Dan pointed out really was talking about, you know, the integration of access and video and intrusion and Dennis's Homeland products into verticals. Well, there, the multi-generational product plan is really almost a here today and a future dependency on our growth, and that is integration platforms. And we have a project called Genesis, which is really the next generation to our Alliance platform, which integrates today intrusion access, video, and fire. Genesis would be a broader and deeper, sort of more scalable integration solution that will not only integrate G security products, but also deal with third-party platforms, as well as, in a three-phased approach, will ultimately integrate with other people's, let's say, for example, building management systems. That we do not want to necessarily be best in class at developing, but we want to be able to, as Lewis said, share information, not just data. There's a big difference between information and data. You know, lastly, I'd like to point out a couple of examples that are kind of where we're going in the future. And one of them we've touched upon here. Dennis was talking about the StreetLab product. Now, the StreetLab is one of the three legs in a multi-tier approach to biodetection. Biodetection, bioterrorism, unfortunately for all of us, is here today and is here to stay. And we have a three-prong approach because this is an interesting challenge where both the market and the technologies are emerging simultaneously. It is not like a Commerce Guard where we're just taking it to new space. It is not like integration where we're just expanding our customer base. It is truly new. So here we think about biodetection strategy as detect to warn, early warning systems that give you inexpensive, rapid information, not a standalone solution. We call that a UV biofluorescence monitor. Think of it as a very sophisticated smoke detector where you can put point sensor elements everywhere that can get very rapid responses to incoming biological material in the air. It's not going to tell you whether it's a bad guy type of thing. The next phase is that could trigger a more robust system called a BioGuard, which I would categorize as detect to prevent. So you've got detect to warn, detect to prevent. This system is a much more sophisticated molecular biology lab in a box that can be tied into large area monitoring that continuously samples the environment, providing remote reporting on an hourly basis to, for example, verify that a bio-warning threat is real, shut down the air handling system via a building management system through perhaps one of Dan's integration platforms that he talked about. The third leg on that stool is the detect to treat. Because sometimes, let's face it, the first responders and the hazmat teams have to be out there. And if you think about the Hart Senate office building situation with the letters that were delivered to the mailroom and how many months and millions upon millions of dollars were expended just to deal with the situation that occurred, the StreetLab product is a great example of a tool that the first responders in the field can use that does not exist for them today. It's based on our Raman spectroscopy technology that employs the first example of General Electric Company's nanotechnology for biodetection. This is really science, transforming credible science into practical technology. It's a real big swing for us, and we're really excited about the market opportunities there. Finally, one more example that, again, Dennis alluded to this one on his Checkpoint of the Future and the Registered Traveler Program, which is one incarnation of that vision. Again, multi-generational product planning. There's an element of in there that employs the ability to determine if people visually have threats in their body using millimeter wave technology. Now, most of you probably know millimeter wave technology is here today, and it is becoming a more standard technology, not yet long in the tooth, by the way. It's emerging as a technology, but it's real. We're leapfrogging that technology, and we want to move that technology from the checkpoint to standoff. And when I say standoff, I'm talking about 100 meters, to the point where you can employ millimeter wave science and technology through our novel, you know, radar-type focal plane array technologies to focus millimeter waves at a distance to really prevent incidents getting to your checkpoint or outdoors at a remote border, and you can imagine some examples where that might be important to us. So sort of in conclusion, what I'd like to do is say, you know, we get up every day as a team and are very passionate and energized around sort of doing three things, and that is, you know, providing better security, better throughput at the best possible value to our customers in physical security. And it's kind of like that sense of dual purpose. We're doing something good for the world, and we feel really good about being a business and doing that.